Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from John chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, which is obviously before the gospel lesson, but again references John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Most people like to talk about themselves, whether they will admit to it or not. And when they start talking about their kids or their grandkids, watch out. Be prepared. Now, I have to admit myself, don't ask me about my kids or grandkids unless you have a lot of time. But John the Baptist wasn't at all interested in talking about himself. As John was questioned here by the priest and the Levite, his answers were given as if he were in a court of law. And he was on the witness stand. His answers were brief, concise, to the point. St. John the Evangelist writes, "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Very emphatic, "I am not the Christ." Today we have a malady growing in our culture, and I think it's a malady of self-absorption. I think this might even be more dangerous than climate change. Driven by the media, and especially that media that we call the social media, we now have the ability to let the whole world know what I am doing right this second. We have that ability to tell the whole world, to announce that whole world, look at me, look what I'm doing, hear what I have to say right now. I guess we are in the midst of the selfie generation. But as we reflect upon that, it's nothing more than just human ego run amok. Scripture would call this the old Adam. And there's the danger for all of us. I don't think this is a new problem that the current generation is susceptible to. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Since the fall into sin until the Lord comes again, we live in the sinful flesh and we are susceptible to flirt with the old idolatrous self. Note the Ten Commandments and how Luther explained each of the commandments. We should fear and love God. All the commandments point back to the first one where we make idols of the creation. And who is the biggest idol in all creation? It's the me, myself, and I idol. Now, when we think of John the Baptist, we know that he doesn't quite fit that mold. As mentioned, his answers were always short, and most of them tell us what he is not. He is not the Christ, not Elijah, not the prophet. He doesn't point to himself. John is asked that question by the delegation from Jerusalem, finally, after all those negative responses. Kind of sense of frustration there from this group. Give us something to report on. We were sent to come back with a report. Give us something to say about yourself. And I'm sure that answer that John gave was not a satisfying answer. He seemed to say, I really don't have anything to say about myself, but Isaiah the prophet had a thing or two to say about me. He called me the voice out in the wilderness, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. That's a remarkable answer when you think about it. John characterized himself as a voice, just a voice. He is the voice calling out to people to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. He's just a voice. He's not absorbed by his own identity. He sees himself only as that voice. And then the next question directed at John the Baptist raises another issue. Okay, voice. Who gave you the authority to baptize, to promise forgiveness of sins? If you're not the Christ, not Elijah, not the prophet, who gave you the authority to do and to say those things? Now, John's answer here doesn't really sound like an answer at all. He says, I baptize with water, and among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. The one among them. They don't recognize the one among them. But the one among them is the one who authorized John the Baptist to preach and to invite people to repent. He's the one who has authorized John to summon all Israel back into the wilderness, to leave behind the old sinful ways, the old self-sufficiency ways and pride, and to embrace the new life that depends on the mercy of God. This is the one who is greater than John. He is greater because he was before John. Though the Lord was born 6 months after him, John knows that this one is the one who is before all ages. He is the Word through whom John and all things were made. And look what that one has come to do. He didn't come among us to be served, not even to untie his sandals, but he came in order to serve us. The water of baptism flows at his authorization. Go and baptize. And what baptism grants is nothing less than a cleansing away of sins. And it's that washing that frees us from sin's guilt and its power. The one, the Christ, stoops to serve us. He comes down to this earth to free us from that life of self-absorption. Christ himself absorbed into himself our selfishness, our sins in the water of baptism. In that act, at the font, we have been given a new life, a life lived out in the mercy of God. John was content to be nothing but that voice, announcing the coming of the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Being that voice defined his life. He didn't talk about himself because he was sent to talk about the greater one, the one that comes to be our Savior. In his life as the voice, John points the church to what it should be talking about. John defines the message of the church. You see, the message of the church isn't about us. It's always about another. The message is always about the one whose sandals we are not worthy to untie. The message of the church is about the one who is infinitely greater than we are because he was before all. We are the work of his hands, just as we are all creatures of his redeeming work. Jesus came among us so that he could serve all of us. He shouldered our sins as he carried the cross. He died the death that was meant for us. He shattered hell that was to be our reward. And by overcoming the sharpness of death, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Truly, the Son of Man did not come among us to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, indeed for all. The message of the church during the season of Advent is nothing different than the message of the church throughout the world, throughout the year. It is the message that focuses on the redeeming work of the Savior. So now we see the season of Advent is almost over. Christmas is upon us. That means the time for overflowing joy will soon begin. By pointing to Jesus, John reminds us where the true joy in Christmas is to be found. Though there are many blessings in the Christmas season, presents, memories, family gatherings, sentiments of goodwill and cheer, true and lasting joy is to be found in the manger. God with us, God incarnate. True and lasting joy is to be found in the coming one, and the forgiveness of sins and the new life that he brings to each one of us. Tomorrow we will again rejoice that he has come among us, and we will rejoice exceedingly why he has come among us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We welcome him in the manger, and we welcome him who comes to us in his own flesh, bearing that Christmas gift that we truly need, gifts that we cannot do without. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.